Okay, Wednesday evening, 1:13:21. We're still looking at a no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation. This is part four of current events in the light of God's Word. Part four. This is going to be a quiz. I'm going to see if y'all are really listening to what I've been saying, if y'all have learned anything. This is a pop quiz. Now, I've been teaching on Book of Revelation since August of 2020. So I'm just going to ask some questions, and if you know, then you can do this or whatever, and I'll see if you're right. First question, what does end time actually mean? The term end time actually mean? Well, this is the answer. We're learning about end time events so that we can educate others, right? But the answer is the end of the time of human government and the beginning of the kingdom of God, known as the thousand-year reign of Christ. Yeah, it's always easy to answer after the fact. Yeah. But the point is, we're trying to learn about end time events. So when people like your boss today ask you what's going on, you can say, this is what's going on. And I can show you in the scriptures where it says that or what we're talking about. All right, question. The prophecies of Daniel were closed up until what time?
Now. You want the actual answer?
The prophecies of Daniel were closed up until what time? Till the time of the end. He got it right better. Anyway, till the time of the end.
We do better at multiple
times.
Or yes or no.
Yes or no. Yeah, that's better. Yes or no questions. What two things can the beast of Daniel 7 represent? The beast, you know, that we read about, the leopard, the bear, the lion. What do they represent?
Well, they represent countries. Mm-hmm. Or like Germany and Europe.
Well, they represent kings or kingdoms. Yeah. Kings or kingdoms, either one. Okay. These nations will exist on the earth during what time?
Now. The end time.
Well, the time of the second coming of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. And that's the end time. That's now. At this time, to be honest, I'm not sure if the Lord will be here literally, but his kingdom will reign. Yeah. Just as we are seated with him in heavenly places now, it could be highly possible that it will be the same in the thousand-year reign, and I'll show you why I'm leaning this way. Before we get to more questions, I want to kind of qualify this. Revelation 19. Because John had a vision, he was watching a vision in heaven, so he's, you know, spiritual. And trying to interpret naturally what he was seeing in the spirit, you know. And I think that's been the biggest fallacy of the book of Revelation, is everyone took everything so literally instead of perceiving it by the spirit. But I do know this, there's a heavenly interpretation and there's an earthly interpretation of the end time events. Okay, 19. All right, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as I was as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true saints of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Now this is from heaven's perspective. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. Now, you know, I brought this up a few weeks ago about over there where Elisha and Gehazi were surrounded by this army. And, you know, he was saying there's more with us than are with them. And he told the Lord, please open his eyes that he can see that there was horses and chariots of fire all around about them. So that heavenly army was there, but they didn't see it. Now they knew something was going on when they got defeated, I'm sure. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Now we know that's not literal. That's the Word of God. The sword of your mouth is the Word of God. That with it is he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. And every vision throughout the Word of God, there's usually an interpretation to it. It's never just taken at face value. That ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both great and small. It looks like what's fixing to transpire here in this nation. Timber. That's what's fixing to happen. It's coming to a climax here in just a few days. Now, from heaven's perspective, this is the way it's being perceived. But from an earthly perspective, we see it different. The military's stepping in. Now, they got each one of those angels and those horses backing them that maybe we don't see. Absolutely. Like I said, about the hail. Hail. See what I mean? How you can so easily get so confused and so messed up if you don't learn to discern when God is, John's having a vision. Okay. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Well, we perceive this. I doubt it. We'll just know. The air is like all the oppression and all the yuck. It's like everything's new. Everything's different. That's what we're going to perceive, because the prince of the power of the air is no longer there. And his minions, all those strongholds, all those principalities and powers that we've warred against, they won't be there. and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Okay. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They died for the cause, but they reigned. Are they going to live again? The ones that have given their life in this battle, will they live again? It kind of sounds like that. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So that throws the Wapser theory right out the window. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and he shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we are to rule and reign here. That, not fly away, rule and reign here. I was telling the lady last week, I said, the church is fat and lazy, looking for an escape. And I said, the Lord wants us to occupy our land. Why would he make a new heaven and new earth if he don't want us to be here? She just looked at me like, that just makes so much sense. And I thought, I know. Instead of the escape clause. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth. Breadth means flat, plateau. That's the habitable part of the earth. And passed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven, from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those books which were written in the books according to their works. There's still no rapture. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, I'm getting to a close here. That talks about a new heaven, new earth. But where I want to look is Revelation 22 right quick. Why I feel like we could possibly, in the 1,000-year millennial reign, Christ is still on his throne in heaven, because we're ruling with him in heavenly places. Do we see him? No. Are we seated with him in heavenly places? Yes. When we use our authority in the name of Jesus, the word of God. And it could be this army, it's us sitting in our easy chairs in the morning, speaking what we've been speaking all these years, pulling down strongholds, saying this is the way it's going to be, and they're not going to do that anymore, and all this stuff. It could be if we were shown, we'd be sitting in our chairs and we're covered in blood. We're slicing them demons up and we're taking down those strongholds. Just think about it. See, the church hasn't seen itself as in their place as a whole. They haven't seen who they really are. I've heard people say, they're so afraid of you because you have got so much power. The light has so much more power than the dark, especially the Christians. And he showed me a pure river, this is 22:1, of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations, and there was no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Nowhere does it say we're going to see him. There it says we're going to see his face. His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's why I think that this is all, well, it was a vision. And there's one perspective from the heavenly. That's what they're perceiving from heaven. But on the earth, we're seeing something different. It is a literal thing going on the earth, but it's also a spiritual thing going on. Happening simultaneously, one might not even perceive the other. But it's happening. It's happening all the time. I remember one time some guy, I think it was Joyce Meyer, talking about a guy or somebody wrote her a letter that the Lord showed them every time they spoke the word of God, this sword come out of their mouth and just sliced the demon up. I'm thinking, that's what I'm thinking. That is what's happening. Something's happening in the spirit realm. Something's happening in the natural realm. You're speaking. You're using your authority. You're, you know, doing what your spiritual warfare. And that is slicing up them demons. Pulling down their strongholds. If we could only see into the spirit realm to see what's really going on. Just like Gehazi's servant. Lord, open our eyes so we can see. The mountains are full of chariots of fire. And we can't lose. All right. There'll be no obstruction of the devil and his angels or whatever they are. And it'll just be wonderful. It'll just be a wonderful place. Okay. Next question. What does the little horn represent? Huh?
One of the 10 leaders, countries.
The little horn. You have a guess?
Well, the little horn, I'm thinking.
It's in Daniel.
That came up out was there was one that was a beast, and then the little horn in Revelation, though, I thought was the false prophet.
It's actually the Antichrist. Let's look at that. This is Daniel chapter 7. All right, Daniel 7:1. Says here, in the first year Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream, told the sum of the matters. Now, you know, here he is. He's having a dream and he sees these animals. That's not what you see naturally. You see leaders. This is exactly what I've been saying about the book of Revelation. Daniel spake, because they were both the same, receiving the same message basically from God, just different times in history. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given it. We know that's the wings, eagle wing, USA, Uncle Sam, you know, independence. And behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And after this, I beheld, lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up upon them another little horn, before whom there was three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. So that's Antichrist. Okay. All right, let's turn over now to Revelation 11. We're going to see this beast again. Start with verse 1 there. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. And I think I wrote the wrong one down, because that's not what I wanted. Anyway, let me keep reading. Maybe it is. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit. Now people say, where's the Antichrist coming from? Well, we know the literal man and or the group of men and women. You know, Lord said out of Germany, but the literal beast is coming up out of the bottomless pit. Shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. Okay. Now, I want to look at one more scripture. This is 1 Thessalonians. I'd never seen it in this light before when I was getting ready to do this, type all this up. Lord brought this scripture up to me, so I said, okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another these words. We've been concerned about those that are asleep. Now, it could be literal death or it could be slumber. You know, because the dead in Christ, don't be concerned about them. They'll get it. Dead there does mean corpse. But the thing is, they laid 3 days in the streets and then they stood up. So what I saw in that scripture was the Great Awakening. People are dead asleep. It's like Cinderella and the prince has come and kissed her and she's awakened. There's been a curse over the kingdom for 100 years. That's what the story of Sleeping Beauty is about. He comes and he kisses the Sleeping Beauty. The witch put a curse on the kingdom and he kisses her and the kingdom wakes up. Just a thought. All right. What did they do? They didn't bury him. I thought, well, you know, dead bodies you'd bury. That stink. Unless you're the walking dead. But they stood up. All right. Revelation 20. Let's see here. Let me go back to Revelation 20. I put that here too again. Read it a while ago. Right here, verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God, and of Christ shall reign with him 1,000 years. I don't know, I just thought it was kind of curious. It made me kind of look at the word dead differently. Well, maybe, maybe not. Well, no. When, if you read further, it talks about the books were brought out, those which is right here,
yeah, 12. 11.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those books, which were written in the books, or which was written in the books according to the works. So there's a possibility, why would they get out two books if it's only the wicked? Well, it's because we've been taught, you know, a certain way that it has, that it's this way, with not understanding, probably not digging to it ourselves to see, because that's not what it says. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Why open the book of life if it's all the wicked? And the dead were judged out of those books, which were written in the books according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. It don't sound like to me there's any special... It's like, no, there's no resurrection of the dead or anything else until after, unless you're that elite group. Yeah, it gives you something to think about. What does the scripture really say? Unless they screwed with this book so much that we can't make heads nor tails, which I know they've already done that. All we've got to go is about what we have. Okay. All right, what nation does the lion represent? Well, Great Britain, or you could say UK now,
yeah.
United Kingdom.
Okay.
Across the pond. What nation? Okay, what nation does the lion represent? What nation does the bear represent?
Russia.
All right. What nation does the eagle represent?
America.
USA. Okay. What nation does the leopard represent?
Germany.
Yeah. What do multiple heads on a beast represent? The number of times a nation rises or falls, rises and falls. One head rises once, falls. Germany, First Reich, Second Reich, Third Reich, Fourth Reich. Okay? Thank God that Germany is on its last agenda. Here are the four heads on the beast. The First Reich is the Holy Roman Empire. It was from 1871 to 1918. It's interesting, or not, yeah, that it's interesting that 1871 is when the United States lost their republic and became a corporation. It was also the beginning of the Holy Roman Empire, the First Reich. The Second Reich was World War I between 1914 and 1918. The Third Reich was World War II, 1939 to 1945. The Fourth Reich is Armageddon. I believe it's Armageddon. Now, I don't know what the Gog and Magog war. You know, it's just the Gog and Magog war. Okay. What do the wings on the fowl represent? I mean, the wings of... I wrote that wrong. The four wings on the back of the leopard. What does that mean? Or what does that represent? It's not a trick question. It's France, right here. It's Daniel 7:6. They were allies of Germany. France was an ally to Germany. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. And then Germany, the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So dominion, rise four times. Fall four times. What do the 10 horns of the fourth beast symbolize?
10 kingdoms.
Yeah, 10 kings. It's 10 kings. Daniel 2. Just flip back a few pages here. 2:31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together. It became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's what's fixing to happen right now. That's Babylon coming down. It's no wonder the king of Babylon had that dream. He was the head. All right. What do the feet of iron mingled with clay and the dreadful beast represent?
I'm not doing too good on this. The destruction of
it represents
something that's crumbled, human.
No, the 10 feet, 10 toes represent the revised Holy Roman Empire. The revised Holy Roman Empire, which is called the Lisbon Treaty, went into force in 2009, better known as the European Union. European Union, 10 toes, 10 countries. Where else do we find the beast of Daniel 7 mentioned in the Bible? Revelation 13, you got it right. Let's read that.
You read that one already?
Well, we won't read it again then. Yeah. No, we didn't read that. We read Daniel. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Upon his horns, 10 crowns. Upon his head's the name of blasphemy. See, people think, well, what's the heads mean? What them crowns mean? What does stuff mean? And the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and that dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So the beast you see separately in Daniel, but here you see they're a combo beast. And I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death, and we already know we talked about the Berlin Wall. The wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? In fact, it has to probably be Germany, way back in the 30s, maybe even longer than that, they're always ahead of the curve. And personally, I think probably these were the ones that were into Satanism, because that's where they got that knowledge from, these, you know, interdimensionals. No such thing as UFOs. I don't care who says it or what they say. They're interdimensionals. They're trapped here too, unfortunately. So I think that, you know, they had that extra knowledge to do what they did and to be so advanced, even during World War II and before, to have anti-gravity ships. That's what Admiral Byrd was looking for, Nazi bases on Antarctica. And supposedly they have found things in Antarctica they can't explain. So these interdimensionals, I heard somebody say something today. Everything that the beast system has, all their technology, all their stuff is all underground. I'll tell you something right there. But everything that that the white hats have is all up. Space Force. All those satellites. And that's connected to God. That's what's, you know, that's the way it is. There's all underground, all darkness, all. And I'm telling you what, all of this is taking out all of that. So, let me see if I have anything else. I think I have a couple of little things I'll share with you. This right here was from 107, which I believe is JFK Jr., I'll just be honest. He said, the president has quietly slipped us into Nacera. Look at the executive order signed on the 2nd of November. While they were cheating, look here, not there. The military is the only way. Nacera, Jacera, law transition. Trump is now stepping down. Not in the way you think. He's allowing a smooth transition of power, not to Biden, but to the military. This is exactly what he means. Transition into martial law. As predicted, General Flynn will be taking the reins here for a while. You didn't hear during POTUS speech anything about Biden or conceding. This is part of Nacera Jacera, and he has to step down from the U.S. corporation, a dead entity, into the new administration, the 1776 Constitution Party. All leaders will be removed. Jacera Party created worldwide. You have to understand. I know that Mike Pompeo is stepping down. He said by next Wednesday he will be stepping down. I know Charlie Ward, he's involved in that Jacera thing. Seems like he named some other people that are going to be in that. You have to understand that POTUS is a genius. We're witnessing the best show on earth. This has always been part of the plan. Q has said this, and now it's being shown in reality. Do not worry. Rejoice and be happy. God has given us a warrior to fight for humanity. The best is yet to come. In the meantime, prepare for a horrendous 2 weeks. Okay, 34 quadrillion was seized from the Vatican alone. What a time to be alive. Amazing things are coming. In the Vatican in March when they went in and took 34 quadrillion dollars. All right. Breaking report. Space Force is involved in the worldwide blackouts we're seeing in multiple countries right now. This is a test run for the top secret global broadcast satellite program, GBS. Can bathe any broadcast system with a particle beam technology to override the machinery. He can override them anytime he wants to. Trump will use this program to enable direct contact with all television screens for a worldwide address in which he will reveal the signing of multiple new executive orders that would allow the swift trial through military tribunals for all those who chose treason over the past weeks and 4 years. He committed to a smooth transition of power to a new administration. That administration will be new with a new patriotic VP and without the trough of treasonous swamp actors working to undermine him. This is now justified under Emergency Broadcast Act as internet platforms activated Section 4 through their seditionist censorship. Pence is actively pursuing the 25th Amendment, so Trump is putting system in place, ASAP. From what I heard today, that Pence actually came against it and would not be any part of it. And I'm thinking, what gives here? You could have prevented all of this. And now you're stepping up? Like I said, we're watching a movie. These people have been dealt with. A lot of them have been dealt with. And they're playing a part. So, anyway, we know the best is yet to come.